Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Microphone
and a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. No, I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years, longer than most people.
34 years to me is that happened yesterday, not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 and 1240 KFH. Woo-hoo!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're with you for the next couple of hours. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power in the studio, producing and engineering. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. We are at the trade deadline, 3 hours until we call it quits in the Major League trade wars. Your team made a move yesterday, getting Lane Thomas.
Yeah.
My team made a move yesterday, getting Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty. We expect more moves today in St. Louis. Looks like Dylan Carlson is creating a little bit of a bidding war, surprisingly.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand it. Makes no sense. But if you pull off a heist for, like, saw Dylan Floro, is that his name, from Washington, if you get him for a nothing, then you've got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Well, Dylan Carlson's one of those guys that, you know, I would not be shocked if he goes somewhere and becomes a pretty good major league player.
I would.
I don't think he'll be an all-star, but I think he could go somewhere, hit 240, 250, 15 homers, steal 20 bases. I don't think that's out of the realm.
All right, I guess. I mean, he's... For the last 3 years, he has not shown any capability of being able to do that. And I don't think...
Confidence is a... Remember when you went to Ohio, riding a wave? You just had a great summer here in Kansas.
What are you talking about?
You went to Ohio and you just couldn't hit a... You couldn't hit the ocean.
I had a great summer, not a year before?
Yeah, you had a great summer the year after your sophomore year at North.
Yeah, sure did.
And then you went to Ohio for your junior year, and you couldn't throw it in the ocean.
I hit fine toward the second half of the season.
You might as well have taken a bamboo splint up there.
Well,
to hit
it wasn't
with.
All my fault. The guy didn't know how to coach me, and it is what it is.
You know what? You don't need to depend on guys to coach you. You make it happen yourself. You think anybody ever worried about coaching me when I was playing?
No, they didn't. They knew you had no future.
Here's what they knew. He'll handle it.
Really?
He'll go out and I don't need to coach him. He coaches himself.
So if I take a strike and I get yelled at, that should do wonders for my confidence?
Sure.
It should? If I get screamed at in the dugout for losing a ball in the sun, that should do wonders
that
for my confidence?
That happened to you?
Of course.
Yeah, good for him. Let's get him on the show. We'll talk about
not
it.
Just yelled at, cussed at.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what'd you say back?
Nothing. He benched me.
I've told
this story before, and then I was playing left that day, and then it was a doubleheader. In the second game, I was benched again, but the left fielder lost a ball in the sun, and then he put me back in.
It sounds like a moron. But anyway, here we are. We'll keep track of the deadline moves. Watching the Guardians, they have a 2-0 lead over Detroit, so Jeff's pretty happy right now.
Well, just hold the lead. We'll be fine.
Last night, now listen, the Royals are playing the worst team in the big leagues, one of the worst teams in the history of the big leagues.
They might end up being the worst team in the history.
They may very well. What Bobby Witt's doing, he's 13 for 16 in his right now. Game-winning,
well, it's not just that. It's
game-winning grand slam. Steals bases. Made an incredible play in the hole last night. Hitting over 340. Is he the best player in the game today?
He's in the top handful of players. I think Aaron Judge and Shohei are still right there. And then you start talking about Bobby Witt. So he's no worse than third, I would say.
Shohei's a DH right now.
Well, he's got a pitch.
Of course, I get that. And Aaron Judge is fantastic. He's already got almost 100 RBIs. What is it, 99?
Yeah.
We're not even to August. It's ridiculous. But for the overall game and the position he plays, and Aaron Judge has played a lot of center field this year.
Right, that's premium position.
We didn't expect this guy to be arguably the best player in baseball right now, did we?
Did we not? I mean,
I don't know. Did we?
There's a lot of signs that he could be. He's got unbelievable speed. He's got an unbelievable arm. He's got power. He's got the hit tool. I don't know how many guys you look at with the skills that he possesses, and then later you say you're surprised that he's become as good as he has. He's been taking the incremental steps. He was not very good, and then he was good, and then he was really good, and now he's great. It's kind of how it goes down sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and here he is. He just turned 24 in June. He signed for a million years. The Royals have him through when? 2031 is when he's a free agent. He's currently batting.
Thought it was longer than that. I thought they signed it for like 12 years.
347 was a 988 OPS, a 391 on base percentage. I guess if you wanted to pick at anything, and he does have 19 homers, but he doesn't have 30 homers.
But he will.
Well, he did last year. He had 30 last year. I guess you could, if you wanted to point out one thing, you might say, well, he's not amongst the league leaders in home runs, but he's amongst the league leaders in total bases.
Yeah, he's got a lot of doubles.
Because he has 30 doubles and 10 homer and 10 triples.
Yeah, not many guys go double digits across the board, much less 30 doubles and 30 homers potentially and 10 triples. So I don't think there's anything you can really poke at. 19 homers? Not really. I wouldn't.
19 homers is great. He's probably going to hit 30. I mean, you can't, like I said, that's definitely nitpicking.
I don't think there's anything to nitpick at. If a guy's having the year that he is and really no holes in his game, then no need to nitpick.
I want to get back to Bobby Witt in a minute, but we just had the mailman visit. And every time a dog sees the mailman, they go nuts. That's what Misty. Why? Why don't they ever get used to the mailman?
I don't know that it's not being used to the mailman. She's used to me coming over, but she still goes crazy when I get here. I don't think it's anything that's taken by surprise. I think if the mailman were to stop in, Misty would love on him the way she loves on me. And there's
can't
your,
she get used to the mailman?
There's your first base hit for Lane Thomas as a member of the Cleveland Guardians.
I don't care about Lane Thomas.
You used to. You traded him for John Lester.
I honestly don't care about him.
Welcome to the Cleveland Guardians.
Who?
I was told Alex Cobb.
Well, who were you told by?
It happened, Scotty.
Well, are you happy about that?
Yeah, I didn't really send much over. I like Alex Cobb. He shut us down in the playoffs. That was 11 years ago. But
well, he's 70.
Alex Cobb was a guy who's coming back for the Giants.
Coming back?
And
come back when you're his age?
He's been injured. And, yeah, the last 3 years, ERA's under 4. You'll take that.
Here's what Bobby Witt projects. And he plays every day, so he hadn't missed a game. He projects to hit 347 with 29 homers, 114 RBIs, 15 triples, 45 doubles, 224 hits, and 132 runs scored. That's quite simply one of the best seasons that anybody's had in Major League Baseball over the past 30 years.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm getting all kinds of...
Who cares about Alex
Cobb? It's not that.
You act like it's some game changer.
No, I'm not talking about Alex Cobb. I've been chasing Brett Phillips today, who former Royal, former Ray, former Brewer, pitched. He was not a pitcher in the big leagues, but we knew he had an incredibly strong arm. He pitched yesterday in the NBC World Series for a team out of Texas. And he was signed today by the Yankees.
He just missed a 2-run home run by Jose Ramirez. Because you're so distracted by everything. What'd you hear about Brett Phillips? Are we getting him or not?
No, but the guy said we could have our head coach.
We don't want him. I'll make those decisions. Those all go through me.
Do you want him?
No.
Why?
Well, they're only 1-2, and they're. Why would I pick him?
You wouldn't. But unless, I think we should get him.
No.
Yeah, I want to know more about this team that got a major leaguer to come in and pitch for him.
Get him for 310. We'll spend a few minutes with him. Alex Cobb acquired 77-75 in his big league career. 3.85 career earned run average. I guess you plug him in and do
it's
what
a good
you
move.
Need. I guess you do what you plug him in.
Yeah, now you got a rotation of...
Well, are you pleased with your team?
Yes.
So this is all. This is...
I don't know if they're going to do anything else. They didn't trade anybody of consequence. Jacob Bresnahan. I don't even know much about him. I think he's a catcher.
Well, they traded some guys in the...
yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Lane Thomas deal.
Yeah, and it took a minute to digest that. But...
Well, that left-handed pitcher they traded sounds pretty...
They drafted... High ceiling guys this year, and they're only a year behind him. So I'm not worried about it. I hope Alex Clemmie goes to Washington and is fantastic in 3 or 4 years. Hope I like Jose Tena. I hope he does well.
Well, Washington's a team to watch, as I've said on this show many times, and I'll continue to say it. I'm putting my faith in the future of the Nationals. Okay. They have a better future than. I don't see the future for the Cardinals right now. I gotta see some things.
Well, they don't have one as of right now.
Jordan Walker, I thought. No, I don't see a future.
Keeping him down in AAA, I know he's been struggling, but keeping him down in AAA essentially all year is just malpractice, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see. I'm not going to defend the Cardinals on that one. Do I see a bright future for the Royals? To some degree, but, you know, they got guys, I don't know what the situation is with, they've got Bobby Witt locked up. As long as you have him in the middle.
They're going to need to develop some of their own pitching at some point. I think you're going to get by fine with Lugo, Reagans, Waka, et cetera, next year, maybe the year after. And Reagans will be good for a long time. But at some point for that franchise to have long-term success, it's got to
be. Well, we'll see. They're having more success than your franchise.
They are? I wasn't aware that third place was better than first.
Well, I'm just going to say it. I like what they've done with their team.
Sure, there's no problem with liking what the Royals have done. I like what the Guards have done.
I went into last night's ball. By the way, Joe Buck, the best announcer of, finish the sentence.
I don't know, the 20th century.
He and Chip Carey teamed up last night, and while Chip Carey's good, Joe Buck's about five times better.
How'd that sound for you?
Well, it's just remarkable. He's so good. I mean, he's a storyteller. He's like his dad. He's a storyteller who doesn't lose touch with the game. That's an art form.
It's unfortunate we've lost him to football.
It is. But you know what I mean about, even with the pitch clock now, which makes it harder to tell stories because the game's moving so quickly. But he tells stories. They had great video last night of both his dad, Jack Buck, and Chip Carey's grandfather, Harry Carey. Jack Buck and Harry Carey worked Cardinals games for a long time and
sure.
Back into my formative years.
No doubt.
So it brought back a lot of memories. And you know how we Cardinals fans are. We like the nostalgia of the moment. We like to think back to the great years.
And that's what baseball is about. Baseball is about nostalgia. There's obviously a lot of interest in the present, but there's a lot of interest in the past.
And they just brought in their 1964 team. Think about that. That's 60 years ago. I think they had seven guys back. Not Dal Maxville, who was on our show recently.
He wasn't there?
No. Not Julian Javier. It was more. Ray Washburn was really the only frontline guy who was back, and he looked a million years old because he is a million years old.
Well, he's hanging in there. That's all that matters.
You know, I used to say this aging thing is really difficult. I've changed it.
What do you have now?
Being old is difficult.
Oh, okay.
It's not aging anymore. Getting old is, that's a thing of the past.
I am old. You're not getting old anymore.
Does somebody dispute that? Is there anybody out there who believes that being 69 on the cusp of 70 is not old?
I don't know. When you're 10, you think 40 is old or 30. When you're 30, you think 70. I don't know. It's a perspective that changes. We had Nick from Chicago yesterday, who you noticed didn't even acknowledge my presence.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
We were so caught up in talking to each other. And just, you know, it felt like a kind of a reunion, really.
Yeah, he didn't even acknowledge me. Like, I am the Roman Reigns of the show. I need to be acknowledged.
I didn't even notice because Nick and I are so close.
Yeah, he said age, you feel how you feel.
Right. But you know, you understand what I'm saying about how I didn't notice because Nick.
Yeah, you said it. I understood it.
Nick wanted to talk to me. And you were that third wheel, if you know what I mean. And I don't know why you get offended by that, frankly.
I'm not offended at all. I didn't know that I was coming off that way.
Well, kind of that way. I guess I got to watch gymnastics tonight, even though the Cardinals are on. They haven't watched it today. They'll show it again in prime time. Simone Biles, where does she rank amongst? You know, I watch these Olympic games and I get caught up in them, and it only happens every 4 years. And they, We watch
it. The answer, I don't know what you're going to ask me, but the answer is number one.
Here's what I'm going to ask you. Where is she in the pantheon of U.S. athletes?
U.S. Olympic athletes?
Athletes.
I don't know. It's very hard.
Is she top 10 all time?
Well,
you
have to decide that. She's the best to ever do gymnastics.
Name someone who's a slam dunk. Top 10 athlete of all time, United States athlete.
Muhammad Ali.
Ali, that's a slam dunk. Are we sure?
Pretty sure. I think Ali, Ruth? Jordan are your...
Ruth?
Yes. Are your 100% lead pipe locks.
Gretzky?
He's not a U.S. athlete.
Where's he from?
Canada.
Oh. Duda?
Maybe.
Who else?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Who else is a lock?
I don't know if there are any other locks. I think that's your top three, and then you can go a lot of different directions with the next.
Simone Biles, right?
Seven. Well, it depends. It's how you value her sport or how you view.
Is Michael Phelps there?
Probably the best to ever do swimming, although he has no world records anymore, I heard.
Yeah, but that changes. It's what you do in the moment, right?
I get it, but it's not like he's 40 years past his time.
We're going to continue with this discussion.
We are?
And by the end of the show, we'll have a consensus top 10.
How do you have a consensus? It would have to be...
You and I will agree.
It would have to be unanimous.
We'll see if anybody wants to call in and contribute. But first, we've got an interview to get to. Frank Leo will join us after the break, manager of the Hayes Larks. And then after that, comedian Felipe Esparza. Now, I don't know much about him, although when I looked him up today, I do remember him. He was made a huge impact on Last Comic Standing.
He won the thing.
Back in the day. And he's joining us. He'll be in Wichita soon. We'll tell you all about that. Back in a minute, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Frank Leo joins us, the skipper manager of the Hayes Larks. They are once again in Wichita participating in the National Baseball Congress World Series at X Stadium. They play later today at 6 o'clock against Lone Star out of Texas. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Bob. Pleasure to be catching up with you again.
When was your first appearance in Wichita at the NBC World Series?
Well, I believe maybe 1982, 83. Goes back
a few years. You precede that music from the summer of 84. That's amazing.
You're making me feel comfortable.
Well, so do I, trust me. So tell us about your team. You're 2-0 in pool play. So is Lone Star. Looks like it should be a pretty good ball game tonight out at X Stadium. How do you feel about your squad?
It's a good squad. They really, one of those things you always wonder when you put a club together and don't have a whole lot of time together is how quickly they'll come together as a group. And this group did that very early on, and been watching each other's back and playing the Wii game, no eye game, and it's been a fun bunch. We're getting the most out of our talent, and they've been playing well down here the stretch.
How balanced is this team compared to some of your others? Just looking at stats, I don't know how much meaning can be drawn from just looking, but a lot of guys hitting over 300 and a lot of guys who've pitched quite a few innings. So you have, it seems like, a pretty good offense and a pretty good pitching staff. Is that pretty fair to say?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head. We're not really a power club. We're a contact club. Can run a little bit, pitch a little bit, and play very good defense. So, those characteristics will keep you in a ball game, give you a good chance to win. There's no true secret to winning a game outside of keeping yourself in a position late in the game, and an all-ball club does a good job of doing that.
Frank Leo, our guest, he is the manager of the Hayes Larks. So we've seen the Hutch Monarchs lose a couple games. They're 1-2 in their pool. Are they advancing, Jeff? Do you know that?
They should be at 1-2 unless there's not a winless team in there.
Okay. What do you think of this format of the NBC? It's pretty interesting. You get to play pool play, and then you go into a single elimination bracket.
Yeah, it's short and it's compact. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of time to recover if you get yourself in a rut. Understanding the finances in nowadays world, it's hard to get back to that big field that was used to be here, which that tournament was a grind when it was over two full weeks and 40-some teams, double elimination. But, I like the format. It gives you a day to catch your breath. I think moving it up a week definitely, is a burden on getting your summer schedule done, but it is a relief for players. Now they'll be done by August 3rd if they're playing in a championship and get a chance to go home. When my players get to town, I always thank them for, going out and playing in the summer. And they haven't been home forever, maybe get home for a couple days, some of them, before they come out for the summer. So it's a tribute to those guys wanting to come out and compete.
How much have you had to kind of change your coaching and managing philosophies over the years? And I say that, and you mentioned, pitching and contact hitting. Those are things that will probably never go out of style. So has that kind of been the thing for you over your time as manager of the Larks, or have you changed? And what is different maybe just about today's player?
Pitching is definitely the answer, no matter what level you're at, what part of the summer you're at with your team. You got to have pitching. You got to have pitching depth. And the second facet is play defense. You play defense and you pitch it, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. So, when putting a club together, you look at those factors. Yes, you need to have some offense too. And so that's kind of the third factor that comes into play. I don't think power is the thing you look for. I think it's looking for guys. How often are they striking out? Are they getting on base? I look a lot at on base percentage. of players, and you know, somewhat on batting average, but more or less are they putting the ball in play and not striking out. You know, as far as you know, the recruiting process and what's going on, how things have changed with players, it's all about the pitching, the number of innings guys throw during the course of the spring. Bob, to be honest with you, it's getting tougher and tougher every year to put a good pitching staff together, a depth pitching staff, where you have quality guys up and down. Coaches, and there's also the portal that's coming into play. Coaches are getting hesitant to send pitchers out, even to send position players out. Number one with the pitchers is innings. I mean, and it's not a great amount. I mean, they get up to around 50 innings in the spring, and you start wondering if a guy you recruited is going to come out. And you know, years ago when I first started this, you could recruit a weekend guy, and he was going to come. Now, you know, the weekend guys aren't going out. They're staying on campus. And you know, my big thing, Bob, with some of these pitchers that need to work, 50 innings isn't much. Staying on campus and throwing bullpens, getting stronger, it's all well and good, but you can do that in the summertime and pitch at the same time and find out about yourself. No substitute for being between the white lines, game on the line, and you're on the mound, and see if you can get a guy out. That's the old school in me, and that part of the game has really changed as far as, you know, what kind of arms you are getting out anymore.
Yeah, for sure. The TLC we're showing pitchers now may be a little excessive. Talking with Frank Leo, the manager of the Hayes Larks, they are 2-0 in pool play. They play Lone Star Baseball Club out of Texas tonight, also 2-0. Both teams are going to make it into bracket play. So how do you approach this game tonight with your pitching? I would imagine that if this game had more on the line, it might be different.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, Bob. And Lone Star is a very good club. We've played them before. They always have good arms coming in that they bring in with them. We've battled them and had some great games against them. And you know, we'll see a formidable arm tonight. But the catch-22 is, Bob, if you win, you're off tomorrow. If you go all out to try to win and you don't, you use up a lot of arms, you got to play tomorrow. Day off isn't that big if you have all the pitching depth you want and your pitching lines up. You know, there's teams that finished yesterday that are going to have 2 days off before bracket play starts. So it's kind of a catch-22. We'll kind of, you know, go at the game, you know, like we do every game, you know, try to win it. You got to just watch when you get close to the end. Do you win at all costs? And you're going to have to gamble a little bit. The game's on the line. You know, you got to go after it. You can't back off. And if you don't get that dub, then you're really going to have to roll up the sleeves tomorrow. You'll have to play 4 days in a row and try to get to a championship game that way.
So, Frank, I am by no means trying to push you out, but have you thought about what the Larks look like after you, whenever that might be, decide to step aside, if you ever decide to step aside? You're obviously very synonymous with that organization. You are the Hayes Larks. Do you know what it'll look like, what the next person might do with that organization or how it will look?
Well, I appreciate the compliments. You know, it's still going to be the Hayes Larks. You know, I put my heart and soul in it, but there's a good board there that will keep this thing going. The community loves the program, whether my name's on it or not. I don't know if that makes a big deal. I've been there a long time and tried to create something that will last in Hayes. That time is coming, Bob. And, you know, God willing.
Well, that was my son asking that question. And he's always asking when my time's going to be up. So don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah.
You sound alike.
I take it year by year. God willing, the health is good. And I've been blessed over the years to have some tremendous memories with this program. The time's coming. I can't do this forever. You know, but before next season starts, I'll hit that big 7-5. But still feel like I'm going strong.
Well, you're amazing. You've had an incredible run with the Hayes Larks. We yesterday on the show, Frank, we were talking nostalgia with the NBC World Series. I go back a long ways with it, as, even as a kid, back to the 1960s when I attended with my father, and then started covering it in 1976. So we each named our most legendary NBC franchises. So I want to ask you, which era of the NBC that you've been involved with, and you go back to the early 80s, was the best era in your opinion?
I'm going to say in the 90s, Bob. That tournament was a grind. You had teams from all over the country. You know, you were getting two teams out of Alaska. You were getting a lot of teams out of California, Texas, Illinois. It was a grind. You came in here, and, yeah, you may play and have a couple days off, but double elimination, game on the line just about every night out. There's no pool play where you have some wiggle room. You know, I'd say that the 90s were to me, were the formidable years. And, you know, I've got some great memories from the 90s, particularly 95, when Lance Berkman put us on his shoulders and we almost took down next year's USA Olympic team. So a lot of good memories from the 90s.
Yeah,
I think that was probably maybe the peak of the tournament.
That's one of the legendary tournaments that that they've had is 1995, and you mentioned it. Team USA defeated the Hayes Larks in the championship game. Frank, we always love having you on. We appreciate your time and everything you've done for baseball, not only in Hayes, but really across the country. You've given a lot of people opportunities. Thank you for being on. Best of luck in the game tonight and the rest of the way in the tournament.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Always enjoyed talking with you.
All right. Frank Leo from the Hayes Larks. Always, I enjoy that conversation every time we have it.
Yeah, baseball guys, it's nothing better.
We are awaiting Felipe Esparza. We expect him to call shortly, but he's restarting his comedy tour Thursday night in Australia.
It's a big deal.
What if he's in the air right now?
What if he's on the ground in Australia right now and it's very, very early in the morning?
Well, I don't know what we'll do.
I can't
I'm
answer.
Not going to fret over it. Here he is. Felipe Esparza joins us. He's headed to Wichita in a few weeks. He'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple on Friday, August 23rd. You can get tickets at felipesworld.com. Felipe Esparza, our guest. Hello, Felipe.
Hello, man. What's up, everybody? What's up, fools?
Well, we're just amazed. I was looking at your schedule, and you'll be performing in a couple nights in Australia, so it leads me to ask, where are you now?
Right now I'm at home in San Fernando Valley in California.
So when do you embark on this journey to Australia, and how long is it?
I leave tomorrow. I'm going to be there for 9 days. I'm performing in Sydney and Melbourne, Australia.
Good stuff.
How far does your work get, Felipe? Australia is pretty far. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to get your comedy out there these days. Where else might you perform someday?
I performed in Rotterdam, Holland. Well, Rotterdam, Holland, Netherlands, in the Netherlands. I performed
That's
there
quite a ways away
last
too.
December. Yeah, that was a 11-hour flight from New York. And yeah. I had fans there. I had there were a lot of Dutch fans who were, I guess, Latino and different people from my podcast. People from Belgium took a train to my show. So I had like a decent crowd
Yeah, it's a very small world, but it has to be a little bit surprising when you step on a stage in Rotterdam and you get a bunch of people there who know you, right?
Yes, and they laugh different over there. Like, they laugh, but they don't, like, holler like you do over here in America. And if the jokes don't work, they just clap and, like, they give you a chance.
Felipe Esparza, our guest, again, he'll be in here. He'll be here in Wichita on the 23rd, Friday, at the Scottish Rite Temple. So you won Last Comic Standing back in 2010, And
yes,
even I remember that. It really made waves. Just tell us about that experience and what you were doing before and how that all kind of changed your life.
Before Last Comic Standing, I was just a regular comedian performing 5 days a week at different comedy clubs in Hollywood, like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and the Ice House. And I was fortunate enough to be working more at the Laugh Factory because they had more rooms all over Southern California. So I didn't have a car, but everything was like convenience for me. I would catch a bus to go do a show at the 8 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory on Friday, and then leave and then finish the 9 o'clock show in Long Beach on a train, come back on a train and a bus to be the last comedian up at the midnight show back in Hollywood. But I built a lot of fans along the way, you know, going up every day. Like, I would go up sometimes 9 times a week in Southern California. So I built a big fan base before social media. Well, actually, during social media is when people started noticing me. Then when I won Last Comic Standing, I won $250,000. And my son's mom the next day filed for child support. She became the last baby mama standing.
That's all it took.
I love that. Do you miss that show just being an avenue for comedians to make their name? I watched every episode, I think, probably, of every season. And you go back to season one, I think Gary Goldman was on. Todd Glass, who I absolutely love, was on that show. There were a lot of comedians that I really came to love on that show. So is it missed in the comedy world, or are there just so many other ways to get out there that maybe it's not as needed?
I think it's missed in the comedy world because I know podcasts are very popular, but some people still watch television, and they'll be glad to see a young comedian coming up. Also, it helps the comedians become better comedians because when I was on the show, you had to come up with 3 minutes every time you compete. So it made me a better writer. And you had to write everything verbatim. And not only that, NBC Studios had a lawyer for the advertisers, and he would read the jokes, and they would scratch off jokes that might be censored because of the advertisers. And wow. Then they'll finally get to you, and you got to erase like 5 jokes. Because I remember Roy Woods Jr., he had a joke about Wendy's, and he had to change it to fast food change. And I had a joke about Guitar Hero that I had to change to that game with the colors and the guitar.
Talking with Felipe Esparza coming to Wichita on Friday, August 23rd at the Scottish Rite Temple. So I'm always interested in somebody's story, and you've had your ups and downs in your life. And I'm just curious about the role comedy played, even when you were younger. Were you drawn to comedy as a kid? Who were some of your favorite comedians? And how much did you use comedy as a young person and even growing up as kind of a tool for you?
Well, my first time I heard comedy was we had a VCR. We were lucky to have a Samsung, a VCR. And someone loaned me a VHS tape with 7 HBO specials. Back then, a VHS, you could make it 7 hours if you break the little clip in the back. So I saw Howie Mandel's 1 hour special, Paul Rodriguez, Robin Williams, George Carlin. So many different, Sam Kinison, and then Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian Show, where I saw Seinfeld, Robert Townsend, Bobcat Goldthwait, and a bunch of different other comedians. So I grew up watching those. I watched the VHS for like 24 hours because we were at a sleepover and everybody fell asleep, and I ended up watching it over and over. I memorized all the jokes, and I would use them. And my teacher, like, if there was a funny situation, I would just throw in the joke I heard from Rodney Dangerfield.
Give us a good. Give us one you used from Rodney Dangerfield. I want to hear it.
Oh man, one of his jokes was I used it as a mama joke. I said, "Your mama's so dumb, she had to look in her bra to count to two." Because Rodney Dangerfield has a joke. I tell you, my wife ain't so bright. She has to look in her bra to count to two.
That's a really good impression, too.
That is a good impression.
Philippe.
Then he goes, go ahead. Yes. No, he has another joke about, I caught my wife talking dirty. She was on the phone.
So, Felipe, are we in a golden era of Latin American comedians? Has that era already happened with Cheech and Chong and Paul Rodriguez? Is that era still to come? What do you think we're in as far as Latin American comedians? Because there's still a lot of funny ones. You among them, Steve Trevino, obviously Fluffy is there. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of Latino comedians are exploding on the social media end and are doing really well. And it's so nice to see them blowing up like that out of social media and actually using the tools that are available in this century, you know? Because back then when I wanted to do stand-up comedy, I had to go to a library and pick up a book and learn how to write. And a lot of these guys, they watch stand-up comedy and they learn it and they go up on stage, they get on these shows and they go viral and they're really funny, like Ralph Barbosa, Ken Flores, type people like that. So yeah, man, and they're also crossing over, you know, like not just Latinos go to their shows, even African Americans and Asians. At my shows I get a lot of people who look like me, like Lebanese, Sikhs. I get people that are married to a Latina or married to a white guy. I get the crossover.
Felipe Esparza is our guest. Have you been to Wichita before? Have you performed here?
Man, long time ago, when I was opening up for Gabriel Iglesias, I went to the Lunar Bin.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And it was over the river, you know. I learned a lot of stuff out there about the squinters.
Well, we missed the Looney Bin. It shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah, man. You have to know that, man, but the owner of the Looney Bin, he told me this crazy story that he used to be a disco dancer in the 70s.
Really?
And he used to compete in actual big dance disco competitions. And he went up against the guy who taught John Travolta how to dance. Danny Terrell, I think that's his name. And he said that guy ended up beating him, but that the guy that taught John Travolta asked him, hey, man, how did you get your shirt and your not to come out of your pants? Because every time everyone else did the splits, their shirt would come uncuffed, but your shirt stood in. And he goes, well, this is an old country hillbilly trick, he said it. And he sewed an elastic on his T-shirt connected to his pants. So every time that he did a split, the shirt would come back down. And he told me that that's what John Travolta used in the movie to keep his pants in. He never got credit. And he said, if you go to any Planet Hollywood, I bet you the Saturday Night Fever John Travolta pants has a suspender, a little elastic that they took from his idea. Crazy, right?
That's crazy. That's a Wichita story I never heard. Felipe, thank you for being on. You need to get some rest for this long flight to Australia. When's the last time you were over there?
Never. The closest down under I've been to is Mexico.
Well, this is a little farther. It'll be a great experience for you, I'm sure. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll see you here in Wichita in just a little over 3 weeks. Thank you so much.
And I will let you guys know if they actually have shrimps on the barbie over there.
Please do. Yes, call us.
We do want an update, for sure. Thank you, Felipe.
You know, also, we had tornadoes in Mexico growing up, man. One time our house flew and we landed in California.
Now, is that a reference because you're doing a show for a couple of Kansas guys?
Something like that. I remember that's an old joke I used to have that never worked in California. I figured I'd try it against them.
Do you want to hang out for hour number two? We'll be happy to have you. Hey, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure. Thank you and best of luck on your tour.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
You bet.
Let's go Dodgers.
Felipe Esparza.
Yes.
Go Dodgers. Go Cardinals. Go Guardians.
You know,
we got it all
let me
covered.
Tell you a funny, before you go, let me tell you a funny story, man. I shook Reggie. I was in this breakfast spot in Seaside, California, by Monterey and Carmel, the wine country place. And Mr. October was sitting down, Reggie Jackson. And my friend reached over and said, Mr. Jackson, a big fan, big fan. And then I was nervous, you know, I'm nervous. And I'm a Generation X kid. So I said, man, Mr. Reggie Jackson, oh, my God, what an honor to meet you. When I was a little kid, my father and I, we saw Bob Welch strike you out in the World Series.
Probably not a great line.
I know. I didn't know. I said the bad thing because my friend came over and said, but you came back and hit three home runs, Mr. Reggie. He goes, I know what I did. Tell your friend that. He has amnesia.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Felipe. Yeah, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Felipe Esparza, he'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple Friday, August 23rd. And I think you'll want to see him after that.
Got to.
Felipe'sWorld.com, F-E-L-I-P-E-S, world.com, if you want to get tickets. And that show will be fantastic.
By the way, the Guardians got better. The Royals acquired Paul DeJong.
Paul DeJong is not a bad guy to come off the bench. And my wife will be even more of a Royals fan now. She's not a big Royals fan, but we all like Paul DeJong. We're very loyal to our former Cardinals in the house. You know what I say? You know what I mean?
Not really. But
why?
There are a few of Guardians I still appreciate, but once they're gone...
Well, I mean, I don't hang on everything they do, but I don't have any ill will toward Paul DeJong. Good luck to him.
Good luck.
Hope he cracks a few homers against you guys.
Well, I doubt it.
We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We've got a game coming up. It's the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
Radio you can touch. That can only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
I've known you your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins. The Orange Bowl's fine. Sugar Bowl's okay. But no Tax Slayer Bowl. You can't put that in a bowl. You can envision a bowl of raisins.
You call yourself a man. I wait for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is back in the studio producing and engineering. 869-1240 is the phone number. I got to come up with some other way of introduction to the show. I'm
like
starting
what?
To get tired of that.
What do you mean?
What do you suggest?
A new song?
Hey, everybody, I'm Bob. That's Jeff.
I don't care what you do.
Over there. Here we are.
I don't think people care.
1240 is the phone number that you can call to reach
us. These are such trivial matters for me that...
This is why I've...
Kind of like Duda.
This is why I've skyrocketed so far in the radio world.
Why?
Because I think about things
kind of riding coattails of others, or...
No?
Oh.
That's what you do.
No, please.
Oh, my God. If you knew how many people...
How many?
...come up to me and
say... Why would
they
come up to you?
Why is Jeff on the show?
How many?
Oh, countless. I couldn't count them all.
Well, try next time.
So the Royals have added a couple players just while we've been on today.
One and a half.
Reliever Lucas Erceg out of the Oakland Athletics and Paul DeJong, utility infielder from the White Sox. DeJong will be in uniform for the Royals tonight in Chicago against the White Sox.
You would assume so, yes.
How about that?
Changing dugouts.
He's got to be relieved. I would like to add that Erceg guy. He throws really hard. He's got a lot of control. It's through 2030, this guy has, he's 29. He got a late start. He was a hitter, and then he transitioned to pitching, and he's picking it up. This guy is dangerous. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Royals had to give up to get him.
I don't know who they gave. I know the players they gave up. I don't know if they mean anything.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know what their prospect status is. They gave up like three or four players. Barnett, Will Klein, and Jared Dickey.
Well, that's why you asked me.
Well, I'm asking you. And you would think you would know, but you don't. You're looking it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Who are they again?
Mason Barnett.
Number four prospect.
Will Klein.
Barnett's going to be the headliner. Will Klein, number 18.
And Jared Dickey.
He is not amongst the top 30, but they did give up their number four prospect, Mason Barnett, who's a 23-year-old right-hander. And the Royals don't have a great system, but this guy is pretty good.
All right.
Did he pitch for Northwest Arkansas?
Maybe.
He's with Northwest Arkansas. This year, 5-6 with a 4.91 earned run average. But he strikes out some guys. 109 in 91 and two-third innings.
That's pretty much every pitcher in the Texas League. A lot of strikeouts, but a terrible ERA is kind of what I've noticed.
Yeah, that's so hard to evaluate. That's why all this analytics stuff has come into play.
Right, because you want to be able to measure every
possible thing.
Because
people don't evaluate the way I did back in the day.
Oh, you looked at ERA and
no,
you knew.
I just look at a guy.
Well, that's a dumb way to do it.
I just look at a guy and I can almost tell you where they're going to be.
Excellent.
Here's Darrell Reeves. We're going to talk some NBC World Series. He's the manager of the GPS Legends. They are advancing into bracket play. Hey, Darrell, how are you? Thanks for being on with us. It's Bob and Jeff.
Hey, doing well. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. So you guys, out of nowhere, I guess we found out that you have Brett Phillips. You had Brett Phillips on your team. He pitched yesterday. Was hitting 97, and then lo and behold, earlier today the Yankees came in and signed him. What a situation that is! Tell us how that all came about.
Yeah, so our team playing in the local league down there in Round Rock, Texas, suburb of Austin, and you know, as we qualified for this deal, what we've done or we've learned in the past is you better bring some pitching up here, and. And so a few of our guys, whether they're college coaches, shut them down or they shut themselves down for the summer. You know, we're seeking out guys in our area that are still looking for some innings. And he happened to come across our desk. And at first we thought it was, you know, somebody was just being silly about it, you know, because we knew he lived in the area. But then it turns out he was trying to make that transition to a pitcher. And it really ended up providing a great starting point for him. So he was here for the weekend. We had a real early game on Sunday. It's supposed to be 3 a.m. We got into some delays, but there's a couple of those guys. We let them rest. We let them stay at home. And he was getting ready for that game last night.
And what happened? I mean, he pitches. Did he pitch before? It's one game. It kind of goes viral a little bit. And here, of all teams, comes the New York Yankees. That had to be kind of a whirlwind for everybody.
Man, it was it was pretty fun for us. You know, number one, the kids in the dugout seeing him, but not only that, but you know, we were kind of going to publicize this as we came up here. Then he actually at the last minute asked us to keep it kind of down low because he thought maybe there was something else in the works, because he was going to actually fly out today regardless to a different league. But it turns out because of his performance and the stuff that happened on social media, you know, he got that call right away, and what an opportunity for him. And it was a fun morning, to say the least. You know, getting up, moving around, and all of a sudden he's on the phone and he's just blowing up, and you know, got people saying congratulations and that's awesome, this and that. And then he also got that phone call, so it was a fun time to be around that.
Darrell Reeves, our guest, manager of the GPS Legends out of Round Rock. They are here playing in the NBC World Series, and they have advanced into the bracket play, which starts tomorrow. Brett Phillips, of course, a former big league outfielder, transitioning to pitching, and signed today by the Yankees, who have are going to put him in their minor league system. The guy throws incredibly hard. We know from seeing him in the big leagues that he's an extremely personable guy. What was it like having him around your players for this brief time?
Yeah, I think you said it perfect right there. He's a very personable guy, charismatic, interacted well with the kids. Our kids loved it. You know, he was sharing knowledge in the bullpen and in the dugout, and what a blessing it is really for anybody, you know, one to excel in this game. And here you go, you're getting to talk to a big leaguer that's been successful, you know, walk-off hits and World Series, stuff like that. And so it's just pretty incredible atmosphere, to say the least.
So since you'll be hanging around and made it to bracket play, what can you tell us about your organization? I know it's a widespread organization. I saw today you have at least one ex-big leaguer, Ryan Longerhans, who helps coach an age division within that organization. So how big is this organization that you guys have put together?
Yeah, I'd say over the last 10, 12 years, this organization has grown exponentially. Do a really good job. It's about people, you know, and people want to succeed for other people, then good things to happen. GPS, the acronym there stands for God Provides Strength. And so we put that throughout our organization. And so we're trying to promote kids. We're trying to promote the game, but also develop those kids to be successful. So we've got, you know, from 9U, 10U, to high school level kids, then we've got our collegiate kids. And when you make those type of connections and, you know, you help people out, and when you look for help, oftentimes word of mouth, they're there to support you.
Well, Darrell, we do appreciate you coming on the show today to talk about Brett Phillips and some about your organization. Good luck when bracket play starts tomorrow out at X Stadium. We appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Had a great time here in Kansas, and look forward to coming back.
All right. Thank you, Darrell.
Thank you.
Darrell Reeves from GPS Legends, as we get a little update on Brett Phillips. I'd completely lost track of him. I had no idea.
I don't think anybody
he was going to be a pitcher. I had no idea he could throw 97 miles an hour. And I'll say it again, I'm worried that the kid's going to throw his shoulder out, because there's a lot of torque that he needs somebody who understands pitching to help him.
Well, he's going to the Yankees.
Maybe the Yankees will reach out to me.
I doubt it.
Well, I hope they, you know what I'm saying.
Maybe this clip will get back to him and they'll say, wow, that is revolutionary thinking.
What do you mean?
Whatever you just said.
Is it revolutionary thinking?
I don't think so.
So I put this Bob and Jeff draft from yesterday out there. I knew I wouldn't do well because people are like, I never heard of the Service Auto Glass.
I've heard of them, but
no, they haven't.
When you put out long ago, like you might as well have a Arby's team.
What's wrong with you? Say that again.
You might as well have had an Arby's team.
No, it took you 5 minutes to say that.
I don't know. I was trying to think, because my game has to do with restaurants and all the businesses that I could think of were restaurants. So I just ended up saying one of them, and it was pretty embarrassing.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Might as well have had. What other organization? Are there other businesses besides
most
restaurants?
Most of mine are older franchises. In fact, other than Santa Barbara, I don't think any of them have played in this tournament. Well, Boulder's back.
Well, that might hurt.
But you had had is the Seattle Suds Liberal. You picked the Kansas Stars. I'm sure somebody's out there. He said the Kansas Stars, they had Roger Clemens. I'm picking him.
Well, good.
And that's a silly way to look at things. You shouldn't have been allowed to use it.
Did you know Chipper Jones got his last hit here in Wichita?
That's not anything he'll ever tell anybody.
I told him.
When somebody asks Chipper Jones, where'd you get your last hit? You know what he's not going to say?
Atlanta. Wichita. Well, he'd be lying then.
You don't insult a guy like that.
What do you mean?
His last hit is a big league hit.
He didn't have to play here. His last hit came off the Everett Merchants or whoever they were playing.
No, you don't even remember.
Well, that's who they beat in the championship game, I think. Or did they beat Hayes?
No, they didn't beat Hayes.
Are you sure?
At least I don't think so. Now you've got me wondering. I don't think they beat Hayes. But now I'm going to look because...
Well, it was like 2017.
Because that's what I do. They beat the Everett Merchants.
Yeah, I knew they played Hayes in one of those rounds.
Hayes lost in the championship game in 2016 to...
Seattle?
Santa Barbara. And Hayes lost in the 2007 championship game...
To the Lake Havasu Heat?
Right, you're looking now.
No, I'm not.
Hayes lost in the 2001 championship game...
I don't know that one.
...to Anchorage... And Hayes lost in the 95 championship game.
Team USA.
Team USA. And Hayes has lost four times in four championship game appearances.
That hurts. No wins.
Maybe this is their year.
Could be.
And what a way for Frank to go out if it is.
He's not going out yet, is he?
If he wins it, I bet he would. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. We'll win it then.
I'm pulling
Santa Barbara's going to win it.
No, I don't know about that.
I do.
You don't have a clue.
I have a lot of clues.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't?
No.
They've won 900 of the last 902 of these.
I would not count it. We're going to take a break now. Jeff has a game. Is Max playing this one?
Of course he's playing
this
one.
I'll kill him. This is almost... repetitive. Me beating Max every Thursday,
yeah, we'll
every
find
Wednesday
out.
On the what is today? Every Tuesday,
whatever today
on
is.
The show. We are an hour and 40 minutes away from the end of the trade from the trade deadline. We'll see if the Royals, Cardinals, or the Guardians pull off anything else. We'll keep you up to date. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Whoa, okay, this one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh, the T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions. Like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready. with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
I watch a lot of, not a lot, but I check in on some bands from back in the day and see if they still have it. And many of them do not.
Name one.
Mr. Big.
Have you seen them?
No, I would go on YouTube and watch their clips. I like look for 2024 clips. Yeah.
They don't sound good?
No, you know their song, To Be...
Sure.
I'm the One Who Wants to Be With You. Sounds awful, but it's what it is. People still want to hear it.
Well, at
I
least
guess.
They don't lip sync.
Hey.
Well, I mean, a little jab at our friend Don Henley, who I hope isn't. But, you know, at least they're authentic.
This is true.
Max, it is time.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on the Bob and Jeff Show. KFH Radio, what is the game?
We're going to learn a lot about fast food restaurants today. I'm going to name the restaurant. You're going to tell me first you have to try to guess what decade it opened. You get 5 points if you get 3 points if you name the decade, and then 5 points if you can name the year after you know the decade, if you get it dead on.
Whatever.
Right? Three points to get it within 1 year. 1 point to get it within 2 years.
You don't even know the rule.
But then,
do you ever write down the rules?
I'm telling you the rules. But if you miss it by more than 2 years, you lose that many points.
I don't,
of how far off you are.
There's no way this will be accurately.
No, I know what I'm doing. Know exactly what
all
I'm
right,
doing.
All right, Max, you want to go first?
Sure, why not?
I don't even know what he said.
So I'm going to ask you first for the decade. Whether you get the decade right or not, I will tell you the decade. And then from there, you can either guess the year and risk points or not. It's up to you. You ready?
I'm ready.
The restaurant A&W, what decade do you believe
that
opened?
I got it.
A&W.
Well, you're not. This isn't your turn.
The 50s.
That is incorrect. It happened in the 1920s.
Yeah, I was going to say 20s.
Would you like to guess what year? Or
why don't I get a chance to steal?
You get your own turn. There's no stealing. You can guess what year, or you cannot, and you might lose points.
Well, I'm here to go for it.
Exactly.
The Roaring 20s, you say. 1925.
You got it within two, so you get 1 point.
Why wouldn't anybody just guess the middle of the decade?
What, if it's 1921, you lose 4 points.
Yeah, but who would? You got a better chance guessing 25.
Well, then guess 25 if that's your strategy.
Anything from 23 to 27 works.
If that's your if you miss it by more than two, you lose points.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you guess 25 and it opened anywhere from 2023 to 2027,
fine.
You got or 19, 20, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, whatever.
This is a flawed game.
Well, then you'll do your strategy how you do it.
Made by a flawed individual.
Arby's is your
Arby's.
Restaurant. Yeah,
what? 60s.
Correct. That's 3 points. Can you get the year dead on?
65.
You get another 3 points for because you're within a year. So it's 6-1 after one round.
And Max, get used to it, pal.
Max, Burger King.
The 60s.
It is the 1950s.
Burger King?
Would you like to guess the year?
Of course he would. Just guess
sure
55.
I would. 57.
Oh, you lose
dumb
four.
Guess.
You lose four.
Oh, well.
What was it?
53.
See, if you'd guess 55,
he'd have a point.
Oh, this is the simplest game in the world to do well in. Next.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, that's relatively new. I'll say the 90s.
Incorrect. It's the 1960s.
No way.
The first one.
1965.
You lose four.
No, I don't.
1961. Tough. Tough for you. You lead 2-3.
Dumbest game ever.
Max,
if you pitch this to a network,
they'd buy it. I'm surprised they haven't.
They'd not only throw you out of the room, they'd throw you out of the building.
I feel like Brett Phillips right now.
And they'd be on the 18th floor.
I feel like Brett Phillips. I show up here throwing 97, and I go to the Yankees. Why is NBC not calling me?
Jeff,
are they?
Nah, move along.
Jeff,
Max,
I believe
Chipotle.
If Merv was alive, Merv would definitely.
He would have this?
Yes, he would. He's Merv.
I would have a rights deal unlike anything you've ever seen. Chipotle, Max.
2000s.
Incorrect. It's the 90s.
Really?
Yes. It opened in Denver, the first one.
By the way, the Padres get Tanner Scott from Miami.
All right. Good for them.
Go ahead, Max. Pick the year. What Chipotle, what year?
92. Yeah.
What decade?
93, you get 3 points. So you're up to zero. It's 2-0.
Didn't McDonald's finance them to go national?
Yeah, something like that.
Cares?
They were partners.
Let's get through the game.
Bob, what do you mean?
What is it?
Dairy Queen.
Oh, Dairy Queen.
That's not fair. He worked there.
That's right, exactly.
Well, does he know anything about its history?
I'd
guess
say
not.
The 30s.
It's incorrect. It's the 1940s. Would you like to take a guess at what year?
1935.
It's the 40s. Would you like
1945.
You lose five.
It's no, I don't.
1940.
Well, that's not the 40s.
In Minnesota, they opened.
That's the end of the 30s.
Well, I know then you lose 15
Minnesota
points.
Franchise. They started in Minnesota.
It is now Max leading 0 to -3.
All right.
Max, Domino's Pizza. Now lovingly known as Domino's.
Yes.
Today, Max.
60s.
That is correct.
Oh,
you get
no.
3 points. Would you like to guess the year?
1967.
You lose seven there.
Ah.
So summer you're down to negative.
Summer of
you're
love,
down to negative four. It's 19.
How do you lose seven? That's the dumbest.
He guessed 1967, and it was 1960. That's how. Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts came around in the 70s.
Incorrect. It's the 1950s. Would you like to
1955.
Guess? 1955. You lose five.
No, Dunks. Quit.
1950.
I hate this, Max. Hear me out. This is the stupidest game
I've ever heard.
Well,
it is now Max leading -4 to -8. Judges will have to decide whether you can win this game with negative points. But Max, you're up, and the restaurant is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, the Colonel.
We like to call it KFC these days.
The 40s.
Incorrect. It was the 1930s. Would you like to take a stab at the year?
Broke. 34.
You lose 4. It is 1930.
Everything's on a on the 1939. This is a trick game.
Well, you guess what you want to guess.
All right, this is the last one.
No, it is not.
I really don't like this game.
That's not that bad.
I don't care. All right, Max loves it, and he's
been around a long
negative
time.
Eight,
I
as
like
are
that.
You. Long John Silver's.
Long John Silver's came along in the 1960s.
That's correct for 3. Would you like to guess?
1965.
You lose 4. So it's a net of 1 law, -1. You are now at -9. That obviously opened in the year 1969. Max.
Hello.
McDonald's.
Oh, God.
That's the 40s.
So easy.
Yeah, that is correct. Would you like to guess the year?
46.
Yeesh.
1940. Really?
Max, why don't you guess earlier in the decade?
I don't know.
You lose 3 overall.
These guesses are killing you.
And you are at now -11 to Bob's -9.
Last one, last round.
No! I've got two more rounds.
Who was first, by the way?
You were.
I went first.
I've got 2 more rounds. Okay? And I'm going to skip that one and go to that one because I got 4 good ones left. Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Yes.
1970s.
Correct for 3. Would you like to guess the year?
No, I'm not going to go there. I'm trying to win this thing.
Okay, well, you're at -6. Max, Subway.
I think it's a Family Guy. You'll get to that one eventually, Jeff. Subway. 70s.
It was the 1960s.
Jeez.
You can guess the year. If you get it on the
dot,
on the dot,
Max.
You get 5 points.
You be careful.
I'll go 69.
Oh, you lose 9.
19, everything starts at the beginning of the decade. What is this?
Exactly.
1960.
You've been killed by that a million times. What's the score?
-20 to -6.
Well, I've wrapped it up. There's no mathematical way.
There's not, but let's play the last round out anyway.
Go for it.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Taco smell.
That's been around longer than you would think. The 60s.
That is correct. Can you pull yourself out of the negatives?
1963.
You get 2 points for that, and you end up at -1. You almost got out of the red. Yeah, the red. Finally, Max, Wendy's.
When did Dave? 60s.
Correct for 3. And the year, please.
Well, he doesn't have to do the year.
He doesn't have to, but he's down by 16.
Yeah,
you might.
68.
Yeah, you get 3 points for that, too. Hey. It was 69. So you end up at a respectable -14.
Thank you.
That's not respectable. That's terrible.
You didn't even end up in the negative or the positives. I don't think you can
but
be
I won it
as a winner.
But I win it.
You got to have positives to win.
No, that's not.
That's a rule.
That's not how we're doing.
Ask Merv.
That's not how we're doing this.
Yeah, nobody won Jeopardy Merv. At negative.
Exactly.
All right, there you go. Finish the game. So earlier in the show, we were going through our top 10 athletes of all time, American athletes.
Right.
We settled on Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Simone Biles, Michael Phelps, Babe Ruth.
Did we settle on them? Or were they just guys you wrote
down? We talked about.
The first three we had were settled. The question is...
What about Jesse Owens?
I don't know. See, the greatest... I would put Usain Bolt over him.
Not American.
He's not? Okay.
Maybe the worst, dumbest thing you've ever said on a show.
Well, then let's go. Who's the best tennis player ever? Not an American. Pete Sampras would be the best American male tennis player. Serena Williams would be the best.
Serena would get a little of a run.
Let's see.
LeBron?
He's probably up there.
Why all the hate on LeBron? Did you see him in the game against Serbia the other day?
I watched the second half of that ball game.
He's the best player on the floor at 39. I know Durant scores and he's unbelievable. But this guy, LeBron.
I know.
Running around like he never loses. I've never seen anything like him.
I'm with you. I'm not going to disagree. And he's obviously playing with a lot of pride and passion, wants to do well for his country.
Why do people not like him?
Because he's a little bit of a drama king in a way.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, who isn't these days? Put a camera in front of somebody, they all...
Or put a microphone in somebody's hands. You've proven this time and time again.
I'm not... You think I'm a drama?
You're out for all you can get.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Right.
And I've gotten a lot, so must have been working out.
Me, on the other hand, I'm just happy to be here.
Very, really slumming it. Yeah, we've noticed. Might be time to either... step up your game or think about a succession plan like Frank Leo.
Really?
Maybe.
I wonder if somebody will come to me when it becomes obvious. Because it's not obvious yet.
Not yet. I mean, to those who know you, the slippage is clear.
Those who know me would say, man, this guy, is he ever going to lose a step? Are we ever going to see... any kind of a sign of deterioration?
I don't know.
Just today, we were at League 42, and we were talking about putting some interns in our education program and what we were going to pay them and how many hours. And I said, well, it's 12 hours a week for 12 weeks. That's 144 hours. And then
12 hours a week?
12 hours a week. Yeah. Oh. 12 hours a week.
I was thinking $12 a week.
For 12 weeks.
Okay.
That's 144 hours. And then I figured out, it's a calculator.
So you did 12 times 12, which is like the first times table anyone ever learns. So good job.
But then what we were going to pay him, I had all that.
What are we going to pay him?
Well, you don't need to worry about it.
Should I apply?
You interested?
Maybe.
Well, maybe you should do that instead of this. I mean, maybe you'll find something that you succeed at.
I've been looking for a long time. If it hasn't happened yet, it probably won't.
I wish the Cardinals would make something happen. The Padres just sent three of their top five prospects to Miami for Tanner Scott and another player. But those prospects don't have very good records or numbers in the minor leagues for the Padres.
So how do you evaluate
prospects nowadays is, do they throw hard? Do they have good launch angle? And are they fast?
You forgot the shape of their pitches.
Right. I don't like
it. Stuff plus. You got to look at that.
You can have all the stuff in the world, but if you can't throw it where you want to, it doesn't matter.
I understand that. And Robbie Snelling, who was apparently the headliner, number two prospect for San Diego, well, their system must be the worst ever. And how they continue to fleece these teams by giving away prospects. Do we know of a lot of San Diego prospects who have become stars
Abrams is going to be.
Okay, so there you go.
And James Wood is going to be.
Okay, so there you go. Traded for Juan Soto, who might be the best player on the planet.
Well, you ask.
I know, and I was just thinking out loud. I wasn't saying there wasn't. Just...
Well, But you were implying that there wasn't.
Not necessarily.
Necessarily.
Off the top of my head, I didn't go straight to C.J. Abrams, who I should have gone to.
So you know what I did Sunday? I cooked up a pound of hamburger.
This always ends well.
I made pasta, and we're having it. And then I, at the same time.
You just hamburger and pasta, that's it?
At the same time, I cooked up my Vienna sausage casserole.
Ugh.
And I can't, my mouth's watering thinking of it.
So what's in this pasta dish? Did you at least throw some?
Some pasta, some meat sauce, some hamburger.
You made sort of spaghetti.
It's great. It's really good. I've got this little recipe I use.
That's good. I'll make you something better.
Some of these spices I use are just in.
Like what?
Starts with a C. Can't think of it.
Cumin?
No, I don't use that.
Why?
I don't like it.
Okay.
But anyway.
I'm not a cumin guy either.
That lasts us 3 or 4 days.
Well, sounds fantastic, and it's easy to make, and it's cheap.
It is easy to make, and it's pretty cheap. And
that's what I'm saying.
And we enjoy it.
Well, enjoy it. Vienna sausage you can probably lose, but other than that, yeah, keep it rolling.
We like the Vienna sausage.
We?
Debbie loves it.
Are you sure?
Yes, ask her.
She's not just saying that to appease you.
She would never do that.
She wouldn't?
No.
What has she recently said?
She's very picky when it comes to eating.
Okay.
So if she didn't want it, she wouldn't touch it.
All right. Well, canned Vienna sausage does not scream picky to me, but...
Why are you knocking my wife now?
Maybe to some others it would.
You know what?
What?
I'm going to start stepping up for my wife.
You should.
Anybody who says anything that I even think could be derogatory... I'm going to punch him in the mouth.
You want to take a shot at my wife while we're here?
No, why would I?
If you want to, go for it.
No, why would you ask me that?
No, just,
I like Shannon.
Well, we all do, but if you want to get even, that's the way to do it.
Now, your daughter.
You don't like her that much?
Well, that got you.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Not really.
Heading off to K-State very soon.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
We need to take her to dinner before that all happens. Because I'm not, how many times do you think she'll come home?
Regularly, I don't know.
Every other week?
No.
You're not that often?
I was just thinking holidays.
Really?
Does she need to come home every other week?
I bet she will for a while.
Want her to do what she needs to do in Manhattan and get to know people and
survey the area. The kid will do great, but she's going to keep these home ties burning. Thanks for listening, everyone. We are not here tomorrow. The Royals play. We'll be back Thursday. See you then.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!